Sophia Minard.
And that right there means baseball at its best.
And now, leading off for your Milwaukee Brewers,
Valley Sports Wisconsin's Sophia Minard.
Now we got the intro right, Valley Sports. I can't wait for Sophia Minard to talk. She's got to be so happy. The Brewers are on fire offensively. Good afternoon, Sophia.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
What up?
Can't wait to hear the great things you have to say about the offense. Last night, three guys that have been stinking all year all got huge hits for a six-run inning. Take it away, Sophia.
Yeah, it was a big inning, you know. I mean, they had struggled in the first five innings leading up to that. They had just one hit, and they had a couple strikeouts, and Craig Counsell talks about pressure innings all the time, and they just weren't able to put that together against the Cubs starter, and then it all kind of came through for them in the sixth, and I think everyone was just so happy for Luis Urias. It's been such a struggle for him at the plate, and he had a tough road trip and was 0-13, and he'd even been hitless as a pinch hitter, even though it was just five plate appearances for him. So to see him deliver, like, first pitch, a bases clearing double, it was such a big moment. And, you know, you're happy for him personally that he has a moment like that. And that was really the start of it, you know. Then JBJ adds on, Billy McKinney gets another big pitch hit. So it was just a great kind of circle offense to keep the line moving in that inning.
Sophia, convince me quickly that this is not just one of those, well, we got hot for a few games, and this offense is going to be lasting. We know the pitching staff is good. We know they're going to do what they're going to do, but convince us that this is necessarily not a hot streak, and they're going to start to go back to how they started the season.
Yeah, look, I think, I mean, I'm not going to guarantee you that they're going to score, you know, 9 runs a game like they were able to do in St. Louis. I think everybody would be thrilled if you got that kind of production. But I think what you're seeing is what this offense is capable of doing, right? Like, they have power up and down the lineup, but this is also more of a contact-oriented team that they can keep a line moving, right? Like, they can bat around and they can draw walks. They can be patient. They can grind out at-bats. They can, you know, get timely base hits. You know, what you saw in the inning last night, I think, was an example of all of that. You know, they did it without a homer. So that's a good thing. But there are power threats up and down this lineup. I think they even feel really good about the options they have off of the bench with players like Daniel Vogelback and Billy McKinney, who has excelled in this pinch hitting role. So I think the pieces are there, and they're certainly capable of being this consistent and putting up the big numbers when the opportunities are there.
Homer's got a question, but first I want to say, you said something that life without a homer. Oh.
Well, they changed the baseball. There aren't going to be as many home runs this year.
Sophia,
right?
That went right over his head, Sophia.
It did.
Right over his head.
Yep. Well, plus, I thought you were going to say, Sophia, we refer to him as Chris Farley, not Vogelback.
Right.
Even his behavior now around the plate is Chris Farley like.
I could see the similarities, yeah. But you know, I think they're hoping that Vogelback is a better athlete and better hitter than Chris Farley.
Well, I would say this: people don't believe it because he's heavy, but he has great at bats. He has incredible plate discipline. I think that's his real strength. Am I making that up or?
No, not at all. I think that's a very fair assessment, and we've talked to Craig Counsell about that. You know, it's easy to look at him and say he's a power hitter, and that is true, but they actually feel like he's more of a true hitter. He has a great approach, and that approach doesn't change regardless of who he's facing or what the situation is. You know, he's very process-oriented. He doesn't get caught up in starting or not starting. He just tries to be competitive each at bat. He's got really good ball strike decisions. You don't see him chase out of the zone. So I think that's what allows him to be successful in that role, is being consistent with that game plan. And then you see the results that he does. Obviously, the power is there. He's capable of it. But they do believe he's more of a true hitter who can go foul pole to foul pole.
Has he been asked by anyone yet if he ever lived in a van down by the river? Not yet, huh?
I want to use fancy terms like chase out of the zone. I can hit it pole to pole. Sophia, text me some fancy lines to say, please.
Okay, yeah, we'll give you some new terminology that you can mix in, Pete Smith.
Appreciate it.
Talking with Sophia Minner. Look on Wikipedia. I claim I read that he was a phenomenal high school baseball player in the state of Florida growing up, and he weighed over 300 pounds. But you never know if that stuff's true. So
yeah, you never know with Wikipedia.
All right, now my other question's for you.
Yes, sir.
Urias, yes, sir. Is that the proper way to say it? I've heard Urias or Urias. You're the Spanish expert, so how?
Yeah, it's pronounced Urias, like a U.
You were way off.
What?
U-R-I-A-S, and the accent is on the I's, so it's Urias. It's almost like it sounds like an E.
Urias.
The short stuff?
You got that? Say it, hold on.
I've never heard it. I went all through.
Let's see.
Urias?
Yeah, that's, yes.
There you go.
You just said it.
But
there you go.
No one calls him that, do they?
Well, I think laziness when it comes to the proper pronunciation.
All right, Urias, that's good. I believe that they traded Arcia so that Urias knew he's the guy. There's no debate on you have to do this. No, you're our shortstop. There's not somebody looking and you worried about who's behind your back and stuff like that. Is there any accuracy to that?
I think they just they made the trade at the time that they thought was best for them. And this is still also very much a commitment to him, you know, to be that everyday player. I think he was going to play a lot regardless of whether Orlando was here or not. But I think now it just gives him a clearer role, right, of like you are our everyday shortstop instead of bouncing around between short and third. And I think that's what they were ultimately trying to figure out at spring training with that mix on the left side of the infield was just who's going to be the guy that can bounce around the best. You know, they knew what they had in Orlando and shortstop. We just haven't seen Luis there as much, obviously, because of a shortened season. And then even at spring training, he had a little bit of a hamstring issue. So this is very much a commitment to him. And it's his opportunity now. And now it's up to him to go out and perform.
And he came and has been a highly touted prospect for some time, correct?
Correct. Yeah, that was, you know, he was a big piece, probably the primary piece in that Padres trade going into the 2020 season. He had been one of their top prospects and profiled very similarly, actually, to Orlando when Orlando came up as a top prospect with the Brewers. You know, he's an elite defender. He has really strong defensive skills, had hit in the minor leagues. You know, the question was, can he hit at the major league level? And so Luis is going to have to answer those questions. But Craig Council has been very pleased with the defense that he has played, despite the struggles offensively. So that's a big thing for him.
Yeah, Sophia, you mentioned a trade with the Padres, and I always talk to people about when building rosters, whether it be I'm talking about the Packers, the Bucks, or whatever. But in building a roster, fans tend to forget about the other teams. And I want to know, like, in the division, who's gonna threaten the Brewers and also threaten Homer's money? Homer's got money on the pack.
I bet the Brewers to win the division, Sophia. Yeah, he's got value pick at 4-1 odds.
Who's going to be the biggest threat to the Homer's money? Is it the Reds or the Cardinals?
I think probably the Cardinals on paper. You know, just the addition of Nolan Arenado. We already saw what he can do with the previous series in St. Louis. That's obviously Gold Glove's defense and then such a power bat. So I think, you know, the combination of Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, they have such strong pitching. I think the Cardinals are a pretty complete team. So they're probably the biggest threat. But, you know, the Cubs are the Cubs. They're still very solid. They still have all their core pieces from the 2016 World Series team. It's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens with those core pieces. But I think it's going to be like it has been the last handful of seasons where it's going to come down to September. And that's why these early series against the Cubs are so important because they're facing them three times in this month alone. So these series matter just as much as what they do in September.
All right. People who don't know this, of course, Sophia is also our entertainment expert. Books, movies, Netflix series. We haven't talked in a while. Give us a suggestion.
Ooh, a suggestion. Okay, so I just
skip
had a conversation
books.
With...
No one reads around here.
I'm skipping the books.
Thank you.
I just had a conversation with Craig Council, actually. We were talking about documentaries, and I that I watched a one on HBO about the Bee Gees.
Yeah, I
How
saw
to
that.
Mend a Broken
that
Heart.
That was good?
It was really good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. So
more than a woman.
We were talking about music. Yeah, there you go. This is Tony Smith era.
It's hard to explain how huge they were.
No, it's not.
They were off the charts big. Right?
I mean, Tony was
Bee Gees
Saturday Night Fever all the time.
Yes, indeed. All day long. All day long.
All right, so that's what you'd leave us with today, or did you want to add
that's
anything?
That's on HBO.
Yeah, that's
people
my
can't afford. Only rich people like you can afford HBO, Sophia. You and Homer.
Oh,
what about
it.
The rest
it's
of
on
the people?
You can watch it on Amazon. Amazon Prime.
Right. Amazon
All right,
Prime.
Fine,
yeah.
We'll watch it there.
And you can easily.
I got one for you guys.
I just want to help you out. You can easily get Amazon Prime for 30 days free.
30
They'll
days
give you a
free.
Trial.
Oh, sweet. I'll
yeah,
check
and you
out.
Just
Jeez,
use,
that's even better.
Yeah, actually,
just
both,
use
so
new emails all the time. I have four different family emails. I rotate periodically for a free 30 days.
I have them both. You guys got to check out Seaspiracy. Have you seen that one yet?
You know what? That was on my Netflix list. Did you enjoy that?
Yes. Very good. Very good. I'm not a fan.
Good.
I'm not a fan of seafood anyway, and I'm even less of a fan now. So.
And last question: are you vegan, Sophia?
No, she's not vegan. She's not
I am not. No, I am not.
That's now 3-1.
I'm not as disciplined as Tony Smith.
Now that is also.
I'll change
that group.
I'll change her soon.
Yep.
She'll come around to the light side.
Who do you predict will come around first, Sophia, Pebble, or me?
Oh, Sophia, way before you guys.
Yeah. Okay. I would bet on me, too.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate
you guys,
that
you guys
support.
You guys are unhelpable.
That's fine. I'm okay with
unhelpable.
That.
Unhelpable.
Thanks, Sophia.
All right, Sophia.
The Bee Gees on HBO. We'll give you an update
Thank
in 2 weeks. Thanks.
Hey, that's Sophia's new song, More Than a Woman. She's more than a woman.
Okay. I won't argue with that. Sophia Minter, Bally Sports, every other week.
Can we get More Than a Woman next
week? Next time she's on, she's going to be
No, right now we want to come back.
Every other Monday, Sophia Menard, Bally Sports, Brewers.
Yeah. Let's go.
Who's next? Now we go
Who's
Brewers
next?
The Bucks.
Who's
Bucks?
Bucks.
Zora.
All right, let's go.
Zora.